it, make it, do it. Makes us honor, better, faster, stronger.
Campbell on second down and 5.5. Looks right, comes back to the left, going long for Gordon. He's out there and he caught the ball at the 20, at the 15, 10, 5, touchdown!
Well, unbelievable catch, unbelievable throw.
Coming to you live from Browns headquarters in Berea, Ohio, this is Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Takes the snap, Dalton back, looking near side, throws it, picked off, and an open run. It's Joe Hayden, and he's in, touchdown!
And now, here are your hosts, Vic Carucci and Nathan Zagura.
So, people around the country know who is coaching the quarterbacks of the Browns. His name
they
is
do
Donald.
Now.
I don't know, and I'm not entirely sure if Browns fans are familiar with that name, but Donald Luggins is the guy, and he coaches the quarterbacks for the Browns. And why is he in the news? Well, I think most people are aware, if they've been paying attention, he did an interview on an Arkansas radio station during which he set off what could, I think, easily be called a firestorm that I think is the silliest firestorm, and I know, Nathan, you agree with this. And the essence of it all is that in the course of this interview, he reveals something we knew, something you talked about extensively on this show for like the past week, and that was the texting that Johnny Manziel did to him, sending the text that basically said, come get me, and we're going to take on this league, and we're going to blanket together, I think was the word.
Yes.
Wreck is the politically correct word, but right. I know that from what I understand, the text was a little more, a little beefier than
adult.
That. Yes. So, okay, and then ultimately the operative part of this text that really caused, I guess, some response is that Dal Loggins says at that point, Jimmy Haslam, the owner of the Browns, gives the green light, says pull the trigger, make the trade. But this does not feed the notion that this was a Jimmy Haslam pick and not a Browns collective pick of Ray Farmer, of Mike Pettin, that others weren't aboard with this. Nothing could be further from the truth. And obviously, this headlines our Ohio Business Machine's hot topic of the day. Nathan?
All right. So this is the last time that I even want to talk about this.
Good.
Because it's getting to be absolutely ridiculous. When you think about all the things the Browns have had to endure now, about drafting the number one quarterback on their board with the 22nd overall pick in the draft, their second pick in the first round, from it being Teddy Bridgewater on the card to now the same person saying, oh, no, it wasn't that, but it was Jimmy Haslam's mandate. Here's what happened. Johnny Manziel, and we had Johnny Manziel on Browns Daily the day after he was drafted, and I knew this story, so I alluded to it and got him to talk about it, and he said, on that day, last Friday, 1 week ago, he said on Browns Daily, driven, of course, by Liberty Ford, that he had been texting with Dal Loggins and Kyle Shanahan to come get me, let's do this together, etc. Let's wreck this league together, okay? That was the text. What happened with that text is that it was taken into the draft room, and everybody in there was fired up. They wanted to get Johnny Manziel. I will again reiterate it. I know from multiple people who were in that draft room on that night that this was, in fact, the number one quarterback on the board by a lot. All the trade-up targets, were all the trade-up discussions that had been even as high as Tennessee with Detroit at 16, et cetera, were based around coming up and getting Johnny Manziel. They wanted Manziel. When the text was brought in there, everybody in the room was excited because this was a guy they had already want based on their football evaluations of him, their meetings with him, etc. The top quarterback on their board. That's who they wanted. So to get a text from that guy got everybody in that room fired up. It was not a situation where then Jimmy Haslam said, oh, we got this text, we have to go get him now. Think of the absurdity of that notion. This was the number one guy on the board for Ray Farmer. Mike Pettin was on board. This was the only quarterback, you've alluded to this, that checked out green on every single thing, the metric that they looked at for quarterbacks, and was a guy who had clearance across the board from everybody in that room. When the call was made to go up to get the pick from Philly, they wanted to get Manziel. They knew for a fact that he would have gone to the Kansas City Chiefs, a fact that's been confirmed after the fact by Kansas City. This was about a football decision made by this team, and the fact that everybody wants to continue to advance the narrative that Jimmy Haslam went in there and, you know, pounded the table and said, this is what you must do, is just false.
It's
categorically false, 100% right. untrue. And if that's the notion you want to go ahead and continue to put out there, that's fine, but it is not true. The truth of the matter is everybody in the room was fired up. Everybody made very strong statements about getting Johnny, because when you have a guy who wants to be here, who happens to be the top guy on your board at that time, it's exciting. That's all that it was. Everybody was fired up, from Jimmy Haslam to Ray Farmer to Mike Pettine, and they wanted to get him. It was a unanimous decision. It was not something that had to be forced upon them,
right.
And that notion is absurd.
Yes.
And that's the truth of the story. Is it exciting? Is it fun? Is it full of intrigue? No, it's not the story.
The issue here isn't about excitement and intrigue. The issue here is Jimmy Haslam interfering? Is Jimmy Haslam being Jerry Jones? Is Jimmy Haslam stepping out of his depth as a guy who is, you know, not played, not coached, not general managed, just owns a team, just has the wherewithal financially to own a football team, and is he dictating the shots? And, of course, that is the easiest target that a lot of critics of this Browns team, and there are many, and there are going to continue to be many until this team turns itself around, are going to believe. They're going to believe that the new regime, you had an old regime that sort of was the wallflower approach of Randy Lerner, not caring, staying in the background, and the new regime of proactive and very active owner who's aggressive and maybe too aggressive and doesn't know what he doesn't know. And that's the narrative that's being put out here behind this. That is why this story, why the efforts are being made to attempt to advance this story and to make a point that this is about Jimmy Haslam and not about the Browns football decision makers making the pick. And you made it quite clear, and I've made it as clear as I can make it, and both of us are comfortable and confident with what we know to be the football organization's position on making this pick. Johnny Manziel was not someone that they didn't want and then suddenly brought him in there. Now, I've heard other narrative in national media. This is a separate issue to this, but other narrative that deals with some different thoughts among the coaching staff, that maybe this isn't the guy necessarily that Kyle Shanahan is all aboard with, or that other people have different thoughts with, and that it's more that the reason Dow Loggins had this perspective and why he's corresponding with the quarterback's coach, who was a former coordinator in Tennessee, is because Johnny Manziel has a more direct kind of link and thought with this guy versus his coordinator. But
if you go back, and I tweeted out today, if you go to my Twitter at Nathan Zagura, the link of Johnny Manziel from our show on Browns Daily the day after he was drafted, he said he was in communication with both Kyle Shanahan and Dow Loggins.
And Mike Pettine, by the way. There were three coaches, right. But Dowell was the one who, you know, obviously it was brought to light. That was really where the focus was, and that's okay. In this interview, and we're going to hear this in a second, and we just want to tell you, by the way, among the other hot topics we'll get to, this show won't only be about this. Obviously, we're going to devote some time to it because it's a hot national topic as well as a local topic. And get used to this, because the Browns are going to be, vis-a-vis Johnny Manziel, a big national topic pretty much on a daily basis, especially as the slower news cycles continue through the offseason before we get to training camp. Reports now that Greg Little, and actually I think it's been confirmed by the team, released by the Browns, wide receiver, is gone. No surprise there whatsoever. No. Obviously, Miles Austin being added to the roster, Earl Bennett, two wide receivers, the Austin signing. And we want to hear from you, by the way, on not just the topic that we're talking about regarding the Manziel text, but the fact that Miles Austin is aboard. How can he help this team? Do you think he's going to help this team? Are you excited about this addition? This is where Ray Farmer talked about patience, and the patience, I think, has paid off, because this was probably as good a person available at this point in free agency to play wide receiver. 216-578-0850. So we want to hear from you. We want your texts, your tweets, excuse me. You can text us too if you want, but you tweet us at Browns_daily. But let's get to this, because the Dow Loggins thing, we have the audio, and let's hear what he said.
Just let me say one thing, because I gotta go.
You're gonna be back though
for a second. I will be back in a few minutes. But again, I don't want to have to talk about this anymore. I think it's a stupid topic at this point.
All right, so stop. Don't talk about it.
When people want to undermine what's going on here, this was a football decision. It was made. I know that, and it has been confirmed to me by multiple sources who were in the draft room on the night of the draft. I knew this story. okay? This is a joke. People, let it go. Jimmy Haslam did not force them to do this. Everybody in that room was fired up to get the number one player and number one quarterback on their board at number 22. They were thrilled. Good. Johnny Manziel was so fired up to be here. It's a great story. Let's enjoy it. Let's see what he can do as a football player
good
now
luck,
for good this
Good luck
team.
With getting people to come aboard with that, even though we
it's
both
the
know the sensibility of
That's
it.
Right.
But good luck with that. Because
all right.
And
well,
again,
I'll be back and I'll still be fired
right,
up.
Right, you take off and do your thing for our other media platform. But look, you know, who cares that Johnny Manziel, first of all, reached out and made this text? I think it's a good thing. I mean, that the guy wants to be a part of the team and texted. And you know, we know about this because it's him and because it's prominent. But really, in the sense that he did it, good thing. And the competitor in him to want to, quote, wreck the league, good thing. Again, why does it matter that Jimmy Haslam, as the owner of the team, involved himself with the process to say, of course he's going to be involved in the process. Of course you want your owner aboard. Tell me which team in the league has made a pick. That the owner of the football team sits back and says, hey, guys, so what's going on? Your first-round pick, yeah, that's interesting. You think you like that guy? Is he pretty good? Yeah? Huh? You know, it doesn't work that way. The owner, the man who writes the checks, okay, is very intimately involved. We know more about this situation. It's more prominent because, obviously, that name Johnny Manziel is involved. And let's hear what Dow Loggins had to say to an Arkansas radio station.
We're sitting there, and they keep showing Johnny on TV, and we're going back and forth. Johnny and I are texting, and he shoots me a text. He says, I wish you guys would come get me, trade up and draft me, because I want to be there. I want to wreck this league together. So when I got that text, I forwarded to the owner and to the head coach. I'm like, this guy wants to be here. He wants to be part of it. And as soon as that happened, Mr. Adams and I pulled the trigger. We're trading up to go get this guy.
Yeah, he used, I love that word, wreck this league, because the actual phrasing to the point that Nathan made, and that we were both aware of this going back to draft night and within the 24 hours after the draft, was something else that he wanted to do to the league with the Browns. And that's good. That's passion. That's phenomenal. And I embrace this. I embrace the competitive spirit that this guy has. And I'm all for it. That with regard to all of that, the rest of the stuff, this isn't. And I'm not going to do an "I told you so" on any of this. Maybe I will, but I did make reference to the Browns potentially becoming, or maybe very much becoming, the Cleveland Manziels if you draft Johnny Manziel. How it would have this dramatic impact. Got a feeling I was onto something there, huh? Because this is we're into mid-May. And they're dominating the conversation on a national scale. They're driving the sports narrative nationally, not just in Cleveland. And, yes, silly topics like this, unfortunately, and I know Nathan wants it to be put to rest, doesn't want to talk about it again, and I'm happy not to discuss this particular angle on the show, but there will be something else somewhere else. There will be something else regarding Johnny Manziel, because everyone who is out there is looking for his or her own hook on this, and everyone out there has a passionate feeling in the national media and the local media, and there are attempts on the part of people who cover this team on a regular basis to want to forward this notion that it's all about the Browns having an owner who is, you know, controlling things, dictating things his way as it applies to this pick. He wanted the splash guy and to go right along with the script from the movie Draft Day to make that parallel. And that is more compelling and sexier stuff to talk about. Maybe it is. Maybe that's the whole point. But who cares? At the end of it all, who cares? It's done. The story is what the story is. He's been drafted. He's part of the Browns and all that goes with that. And there's a lot that goes with that. Again, we say it on a daily basis around here in Berea. Tighten your seatbelt. Buckle up, because it's going to be the wildest and craziest of rides. It is really going to be nuts. All right, 216-578-0850. And let us start this thing off first with a call. Let's get a call in before we roll further with the show. We want to tell you, by the way, Doug Deacon's going to join us at 2 p.m. From the Cleveland Browns, PNC Bank, Cleveland Browns Radio Network. We'll have Doug aboard, and then at 2:45 we'll get into the Friday forecast. But let's go with, is it Wallace in Atlanta? Hello, Wallace. Hey, Wallace, got to turn that radio down, bro, or we're going to have a real difficult conversation. Wallace is gone. Okay, Wallace just wanted to hear the the echo of my voice. I like that. It sounds good down there in Atlanta. How about JJ in Canton? JJ, I hope your radio is down.
Yes, sir, it is. Hey, first of all, as a season ticket holder, thank God we have some passion back. We haven't had this kind of passion since Bernie Kosar, and the guy wants to be here. We want him to be here, and we're all praying that he does well, and, you know, we hope so. On another note, there's a wide receiver in Houston that's disgruntled. Just wondered if we could throw a little package together and maybe trade for him and bring him in. And set the team on fire. We'll really go from there. Go Browns.
All right, JJ, thanks for the call. Thanks for your passion. I don't think the Andre Johnson pursuit is going to happen. I'm skeptical about that. I know what you said, throw a little package together, and I think that's the question, is the size of the package. I think in the eyes of the Texans, they're definitely going to if they would even entertain a trade offer. And for the record, Andre Johnson says he has not pushed that notion with the team, even though he expressed that he was disgruntled and not happy with the offseason. He was very specific about that with comments he made earlier this week in Houston. You're still talking about a 33-year-old receiver, and what price would it take? And I'm not for the idea of giving up anything substantial, even though he's accomplished. I don't forget that he's 33 years old. And I also don't forget that however this works out with Josh Gordon, he's back in the fold as, of course, a much younger receiver by about, 11 years younger than Andre Johnson. And in terms of the Browns, he is still very much in the picture. And now you've got Miles Austin aboard, and you do have Earl Bennett, and I think they are stopgap measures at least, but it gives you a better feeling than to have what they had previously, which was basically Greg Little and Andrew Hawkins as a slot guy, you know, and an injured Nate Burleson. So you feel a little better. I do. I think I feel a lot better about Austin, but we want to hear what you have to say about the addition of Miles Austin, the former Cowboys standout, to this football team. Want your calls, and I think we've got a pretty full line, so we'll get to as many of those as possible. Nathan Zagura will be back with us in a little bit. He's got some other media duties for the Browns that he's tending to now, but we're just getting this Football Friday version of Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford, started right here on ESPN 850 WKNR.